I'm full of questions that probably you'll find frustrating, and you'll just want to yell at me and say, don't you get it yet? But I was wondering.
Listen, Scott, it took me a number of years before I came to the point where I said, I think I've got a handle on what this guy's saying, you know?
Yeah.
It took me, I mean, layers of had to peel away of my belief structure, you know?
Yeah.
And it took a little time for me to get a handle on it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you had the good fortune to have some, I have the good fortune to have some interaction with you. You had the good fortune to have interaction with him, because even listening to his talks, even though I think I'm becoming more thoughtful about what it is that he's pointing to, nevertheless, it becomes an intellectual exercise when you're listening to somebody and thinking about what they say.
Yeah, that's the only tool we have. So.
Yeah. But I was curious, you know, you mentioned his friend who had dementia and then died.
Yeah.
And I saw on a Wikipedia that he had a wife who had been suicidal and eventually died from an accident of some kind.
Right.
And I was wondering if, you know, I maybe he didn't need to rectify this within himself, but how do you rectify? I have a hard time. I knew someone who lived a purposeful life and they were very intelligent, good person, and had Alzheimer, and you know, just was pretty sad actually, and then died. And do you think? I don't know. You could tell me your point of view, and you could tell me UG's if UG ever commented on this. Do we just, you know, do we just write this off to the fact that, you know, nature is cruel and that's just the way that it is, or is there any purpose when someone undergoes that kind of a transformation? Does it serve any purpose of any kind whatsoever? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a question a lot of people ask. But first, this state is in nature is primordial, and it's before culture, and culture is all the niceties and the, you know, the process of civilization that human beings built to create comfort and communication and the ability to create and do things, make things, expand, make permanent. When Yuji was, I saw him looking at Valentine when he was in a state where she didn't know who he was. He said, "Do you know who I am?" And she didn't know. She didn't answer him. It amused him. And I thought, "How is he cruel?" You know, here she is, but actually she was fine. She didn't need to know who she was or who he was. She was eating, excreting, sleeping, you know, walking about. And at her age, that was all she needed to do, I guess. When he saw that she could no longer travel with him, that she was forgetful all the time, she didn't know where she was, she wasn't talking, she was mixing up her languages. She would speak French, Italian, German, and you know, and she was just really out of it. He said, "Okay, Valentine can't take care of herself anymore," and so he said, "I'm going to set up a house for her." So he went to India with Valentine and Kim, and he got Chandrasekhar to find a house. And Yuji arranged for the house, and he arranged for the money to pay for the house and to take care of Valentine with nurses and a doctor so that she had all the comfort she needed in her last days. So he was so attentive to her needs, and he did it with such clarity and with such an exactness that it was absolutely perfect for her. Yeah. He gave Chandrasekhar and his wife a place to live. They had no house of their own. They were always renting. Eventually, after Valentine died, the money that was left over, Yuji gave to Saguna, Chandrasekhar's wife, and she bought a house. Now, it's the house they live in now in Bangalore. He also gave money to the nurses that looked after her. He made it possible for Chandrasekhar to exist comfortably as he is right now, today. So he was very, very clear about you know, and compassionate. And if he didn't care, he would have just left her by the wayside. But no, and he didn't take any money from her. You know, after that, when her pension was when she died, what was there? All that money, there was $50,000+. It went to Saguna.
Well, that's a wonderful story. I'm glad that I got to hear that from you.
Now, no one tells that story much, but that's the truth.
When his wife was suicidal, how did he cope with
his
that?
They lived in Chicago. She was working. He was giving talks to make a little bit of money. He had an agent, and he had given up being associated with the Theosophical Society before that. So he had he was giving little talks for the Kiwanis and here and there. And finally that came to an end. He said he just couldn't do it anymore. He just couldn't be the monkey, you know, trained monkey. And he said when sex, the drive for sex, for personal satisfaction experience, came to an end in him, it just fell apart. He said it was then that the marriage was over, he said. Mm-hmm. And he felt this detachment, this no longer involved with the family. So the best thing for the family would go back to India. And this is a classic thing in India. It happens at a certain point. Someone said they take sannyas, which means they leave the family. They become a sannyasi.
Yeah.
A renunciate. So this is in the classic way, this happened to him. He came to the point where he couldn't relate to the marriage level anymore. He said, I just couldn't use my wife for sex anymore.
He said I couldn't
use anyone for sex. So he said the whole sex ended.
Right.
So for him it ended, and you know, after that there wasn't any need, and you know, he was free of it. And
well, you addressed my original question, but I don't know. I still wonder about the
animal.
the fact that these things the fact that it happened to this woman who was in the care of such a gentle and compassionate man is very beautiful. But of course, these things happen to people who have no one to look after them.
And right.
Rather tragic and cruel.
Yeah, I know. The things happening, you'd be surprised what happens, you know. People do things.
Because one time I think you said, it was either you said or UG said that in some mysterious way life seems to take care of itself.
It does, yeah.
And so if you can have faith in that, you can sort of feel like things are going to, you don't have to be too concerned about the future, because one way or another things will, needs will be met.
Okay, there's a difference between knowing that and having faith in that. Having faith is wishful thinking, and knowing it means you don't think about it.
Yeah, but what is the difference between the person who knows that to be true, and it is in fact true, but then we look around us and we see in the world that all kinds of people are just, most people are not getting their needs met, and things are not working out for them at all. So is there some integrity within people who where their needs are somehow met because of
basic needs seem to be taken care of, the basic need of survival. But there are people who don't have, you know. I mean, I'm surrounded by it here in India, people who have nothing, you know. And it's appalling, but it's you know, Eugene has pounded into my head. He used to say, the world is what it is, and Bob, you can't change it. It's what man has created. It's man-made, this culture. And this culture is what it is, and there's no way to change it.
Yeah, and I've heard him say that it's even okay with him that it is the way that it is, because, you know, there's no sense in fighting it.
Well, the reason we can't change it is because the cause of that misery is the basic motivation in our consciousness. It's what motivates us.
Yeah.
This sense of separation we have has created this drive to fulfill ourselves and to create a sense of permanence. And that drive for permanence is destructive. And that is why society is all fucked up. And that's why we can't change it, because I'm operating from that drive. I will change it if I get my share first.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when
and
Bob,
that's how we operate.
When Bob referenced asked if Eugene had money, I'd heard him say, now, based on what you said to Bob, Eugene may have been being tricky and sort of was...
He handled money very well.
Yeah. He said, he asked him how he handled money, and I guess he didn't really want to disclose all the real details, or he didn't feel he needed to go into it, because... What he said was, well, some fool left me a trust fund.
Oh, yeah.
And then he said, but you know, he said, if I didn't have any money, basically, this is to paraphrase, not his exact words. He says, if I didn't have any money, I'd go out and be an asshole just like everybody else, because you have to be aggressive to survive, and I don't have any problem with the way things are. He says, I'm just damn lucky.
He's lucky. He said, I'm the luckiest man in the world.
Yeah.
I never worked a day in my life, so to speak.
But there's something about some of us who seem to be blessed in ways that not everyone is. And I tend to believe that somehow it was earned somewhere along the way, you know, that it wasn't just simply random chance.
Well, it's... Eugene, let me put it this way. If you don't want anything, then money is not a problem. He used to say that all the time.
Right.
If you don't want anything, if there's not money in my pocket to buy what I want, then I don't want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's wanting without money that makes the problem.
Yeah.
In our
culture in America, because of the credit, the system of being able to borrow money on credit, there's a double bind, because you can get yourself into a situation where you don't need a lot, and so you don't need to have a lot of money, but you owe so damn much money.
That's what's happened.
That ends up being a plague. It's not that you don't have money. It's that you owe so damn much money that it becomes a plague, because all the little gremlins are going to come make your life miserable if they don't get their money from you that you presumably owe them.
Yeah, this is what's happened in America. This is what happened.
Yeah.
Credit. It came to the end of the road. There was no more money. No more credit. No more money to banks to dole out. Anyway, maybe put it another way too, that if you're, you know, clear in yourself about what you're doing, and that you don't need to worry about the next day, you know, it's it if I'm not quite stating it the way I want to. Just, Eugene attracted support wherever he went because he was offering help freely to other people.
Right.
And so life just supported him, gave him that support.
Well, I would say he was a great man, even though if he heard me say that, he would refute me. Yeah. He would rebuke me for saying it.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey,
Mesh Bot said, if it were not for him, I would not be the man I am today. He made me a success.
Mesh Bot, who's
a film director in India. He thinks he's a great success. He is a success in India.
Yeah.
He's rich and he's a well-known man and he has money. And he said, I owe it all to Yuji.
Yeah.
He taught me how to do it. But you have to be ruthless to attain it.
You have to be...
Yuji was ruthless. Yuji was ruthless. He threw all aside. He gambled. He took the dice and threw it. Said, all or nothing. I want it or nothing. I won't settle for anything second.
Well, he was capable of being ruthless because the average person cannot say to themselves, I want to know what death is, and then lie down and allow themselves to fall into a state of death.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the ability to do that, I think, probably cleans the hard drive.
Yeah, it does. It puts all the stuff in, it erases it, but it's still there, and you need it only now and then. Like, nothing gets permanently erased, right, in the computer? It's still there.
Yeah.
In some minor form. Well, with Yuji, the memory was still there, but it just didn't play a part in his active, you know, life, in his waking normal consciousness, you know.
Well, he wasn't wanting for anything, not only for money, but also for spiritual experience.
Yeah.
Most of us are, I think, living in the world of the hungry ghost. Most of us are hungry, you know.
Well, we've been programmed to be hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... Yeah.
Well, these talks are very special. I'm glad that Bob made the connection with you, and I get.
Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah, it's nice. I'm really enjoying it. It's giving something. It's something moving. Something moving.
Yeah.
Okay, Scott.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Nice talking with you. Bye bye. Bye bye.